we were one of those companies where it kind of happened, right? And it was like, yeah, we had mission, vision, purpose, values, but they were the on the wall ones. They were the ones that you don't like, right? The ones that we all talk about. That's not what you want. And so I worked with him for quite some time, and we worked with our franchisees actually to help develop those out. So we kind of started with our corporate executive team. What do we feel? Who do we want to be? Who are we as a group? Who are we right now? And what are we aspiring to be, especially as we're going through this brand evolution, and then bringing the franchisees in to help us further define what those values meant to us. And so I think part of it is having that, just that collaboration. And you're right, every individual location is going to be a little bit different because it depends on who the operator is and the kind of culture that they are ultimately creating.
You are listening to the Culture Coach Podcast. This is the place where CEOs and people-first leaders come to boost productivity, extinguish burnout, and cultivate a vibrant culture that reflects a fully integrated mission, vision, and core values. Get ready to take your culture to the next level. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Welcome back to the Culture Coach Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Brand. This week, I am so excited to introduce you to this guest and have you hear our conversation. If you are growing a brand, thinking about franchising, wondering how culture fits into all of that, this is the conversation for you. Because today, I sit down with Shane Evans, co-founder of Massage Heights and now Heights Wellness Retreat. And she shares her incredible journey from solving her own back pain to building a wellness brand with over 115 locations across the US and Canada. She is a renowned entrepreneur and franchise expert. We dive in a little bit to the new Heights Wellness Retreat concept, which is really a next generation concept integrating innovative touchless therapies with traditional services, redefining wellness for a modern audience. Shane also co-owns Summit Franchise Supply, Heights at Home, and Gents Place Franchising. She's a board member of the IFA, of International Franchise Association, and she's been a leader in franchising for over a decade, dedicated to helping others succeed through innovation and wellness. But this episode isn't just about business growth. It's about the intentional culture decisions that we make as we grow our business. So Shane pulls back the curtain on what it takes to stay rooted in values while expanding across the country, how communication is key in this next phase of her business, and how her brand is evolving to meet today's demand for holistic wellness. So, whether you're a CEO navigating growth or a chief people officer shaping culture at scale, Shane's story will challenge and inspire the way you think about brand, leadership, and employee well-being. Enjoy.
Okay, welcome back to the Culture Coach Podcast. I am so excited for my guest today, Shane Evans. Shane, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here. I love what you're doing with this podcast.
Thank you. Well, I love what you're doing with your business, and so I'm really excited to dive in on both things. So let's start out by just like tell the audience a little bit about who you are, how you got here, and the business.
Sure. So I am Shane Evans. I'm number one, a mom of three beautiful girls, beautiful hearts, inside and out. And number two, I'm the co-founder of Massage Heights, now Heights Wellness Retreat, as we are going through a brand evolution. And so I founded Massage Heights 20 years ago, actually almost 21 in April of this year. It's been an incredible business model right from the get-go. We offered massage and membership-based massage in a very upscale, convenient way and an affordable way with a membership model. And people from all over the city of San Antonio, where we founded it, were coming in from everywhere saying how much they loved it. And it sort of evolved into this, how do I get involved sort of thing? And we knew we had something really special. 9 months later, opened our second location, also in San Antonio. And so two corporate locations. And then again, friends, family, members, guests, how do I get involved in this? So we started considering franchising. So today we sit at about 115 operating locations, and our brand has evolved from being just massage to both massage and skin care. And as we evolve into Heights Wellness Retreat, we're evolving into even more holistic wellness solutions, such as cryotherapy, halotherapy, which is salt inhalation, meditative therapy, vibration therapy, and a lot of really awesome things that people are using for biohacking their health these days. And I think this is just going to continue to expand and get bigger. So I'm blessed to be in a business. I say it all the time, in a business that we're really helping people in communities. We're helping franchisees get into business for themselves, but not by themselves, but they get to serve their communities in a very healthy way through employing amazing people that are healers in our industry and through giving back in just wonderful services. So that's why I'm here. That's how I got here. And that's those things are what inspire me every single day.
I love that. And it's so needed today. All of those services are so needed. Did you start out, like, why Massage Heights? Was it the industry, or was it just to start a business? Like, what was your reason behind that?
Accidental. I think a lot of entrepreneurs get started that way. They have a need for something themselves, and that evolves into providing that for others. And in my early 20s, I ended up suffering lower back pain, kind of a random thing. And I sought out chiropractic care for it, and it left me actually more hurt than I was prior to going to the chiropractor. I love chiropractors, by the way. So there's no shame there or anything. I love chiropractors, and there is a need for them. But what I had did not warrant chiropractic care. It really warranted massage therapy, and I didn't know it. So after finally figuring that out and someone saying, hey, maybe you should get a massage for this thing that you have going on, I recognized the benefits immediately. And instead of laying on my back on the floor for two weeks, it was 2 days, and I was healed. And I recognized that there are so many benefits. And I think 20 something years ago, people really thought of massage therapy in a couple of different ways. And one was just kind of fluffy. Oh, that's what women do. They go to the spa with their girlfriends or whatever. And what we quickly realized when the idea of Massage Heights was born and we started doing the research, and we started inviting guests in, they were telling us, I have pain, I have anxiety, I have all of these medical disorders. And that's why they were coming. And so, you know, the membership and allowing them to be able to come more frequently and really gain those benefits, both physically and mentally, and also financially, because of the membership model, just made a whole lot of sense. But it was that instance of myself being hurt, and I couldn't find a solution for several years. I kept doing the same thing, which didn't work. And then finding massage therapy and going, wow, that's amazing. So I became obsessed. I'm one of those people where I lay down on the massage table and I immediately start thinking, oh, I don't want this to end. And I know I have had so many of them that I know it's going to end in 20 minutes or whatever. And I would just get one every single day if I could. So I'm a big believer. I know that they absolutely work. And it's been amazing to see how it's come so far over the last 20 years. And people are just thinking far differently, more differently now about their health and wellness and getting a head start on it. Even the younger generation, the Gen Zs, the millennials, they are so focused on their mental health and their physical health, and they're openly talking about it. And I think that really gives some of the older people, you know, more permission as well, right? And as we get a little bit older, now we're looking for longevity solutions. And so it's not just about feeling good because I want to feel good. It's also about living a better life longer. And so I know that was a long answer to your question, but it's why I got into it. It was my own personal need. And it's been a really cool journey to see how it's evolved so much. And it's now really accepted. In the beginning, it was a little harder to talk to people about massage therapy. So
I love that. And you're absolutely right. So many entrepreneurs, they see a gap, right, in the marketplace and try to fill it. Same reason I started my business, to help organizations create a better culture because of my experience in a not so great culture. So just really excited to now let's blend those two conversations, because I know in your industry, your employees, I mean, I already have a, you know, firm belief that the people are the business, right? They are the ones getting the job done. But in your industry specifically, like your service providers, that is the business. And so tell me how you view culture in your organization.
Yeah, I have a saying, I've had this for very many, many, many years. And that is culture is what culture does. right? And so we can either intentionally create the culture that we want, or we can let it happen to us. And if we let it happen to us, it's probably not going to be the thing that we really want, right? So we have to be deliberate about it. Yes, our front end, the people, our practitioners, the massage therapists, the skin therapists, the consultants at our front desk that are greeting our guests and members every single day, they really are who represent our brand, not me, right? Not any of the team members here at our support center. It's the operators. It's the people that are actually talking and working with those customers. And so for us, as a franchise organization, it's really important that we align. Obviously, our executive team and the team that we build around us has to be aligned with our values. But also the franchisees that we bring in have to be aligned with those values as well, because ultimately they're taking those values and that culture to their retreats in their local markets. And the people that they're hiring have to be really aligned as well, right? And so in this business, especially because it is hands-on, and whether you believe in people's energy or not, massage therapists really believe, and I do believe, and I think we call it vibes, like you vibe with someone or you don't, right? And those vibes, that energy does transfer into a room that you're in with people, into a room one-on-one with a massage therapist, hands on a guest or a member. So the culture couldn't be more important in an industry, in my opinion, because of the hands-on approach that we have to everything that we do. And it's our goal to elevate the lives of the people that we touch. And so that means we need to make sure that the team members that are in those franchisees locations are having the right kinds of conversations with the guests, that they understand what their goals, their health goals are, that they understand what their needs are, and that they have positive conversations if they're talking through those massages, you know, and that we leave them feeling better than they came in. So it has everything to do, and it's top down, bottom up. So
yeah, one of the most recent places that I worked when I left the corporate world was a very popular restaurant chain, over, you know, 500 locations, 50,000 employees. And I oversaw the leadership development and training for all of that. And one of the most difficult things that I experienced was getting that consistency across those 500 restaurants, the culture, because it was very unique and every single restaurant was a little bit different.
Sure.
But ensuring that we, you know, not only policies and procedures were being done the same across the footprint, but that the culture, that the way people were showing up and behaving was also, that it was also consistent. So how have you been able to do that across, you know, especially in a franchise heavy, right? Your majority franchise, is that correct?
Yes, we are.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of it is the recruitment process, the way that we bring franchise candidates into the process with us. It's how we bring them through. It's the conversations that we're having when they come to our support center. And we're talking to them about systems and support things and marketing and all that. But we're looking for whether or not this is a culture fit. And we're talking about our values and talking about what that means operationally, right? I had a executive coach for a long time who really was the person that helped us hone in close more closely on our values, because we were one of those companies where it kind of happened, right? And it was like, yeah, we had mission, vision, purpose, values, but they were the on the wall ones. They were the ones that you don't like, right? The ones that we all talk about. That's not what you want. And so I worked with him for quite some time, and we worked with our franchisees actually to help develop those out. So we kind of started with our corporate executive team. What do we feel? Who do we want to be? Who are we as a group? Who are we right now? And what are we aspiring to be, especially as we're going through this brand evolution? And then bringing the franchisees in to help us further define what those values meant to us, right? And so I think part of it is having that, just that collaboration, one. And you're right, every individual location is going to be a little bit different, because it depends on who the operator is and the kind of culture that they are ultimately creating. But I also have another kind of rule. And when I was working with this executive coach on these values, I was like, but okay, so now we have to figure out how to put this in the operations manual. And then I was like, you don't have to have an operations manual or a process for how you handle something if you just have one rule, And I call it the grandma rule. You can call it the golden rule. We could call it the sister rule. We can call it whatever you want to call it, but it's do unto others as you would have done unto you. How would you want to be treated in this situation? Whether this is a leader talking to a team member, addressing them about something, or it's a guest or a member that is not happy with the service. You shouldn't have to tell someone what they have to do to make that right. They should literally just be able to think, you know, how would I want to be treated in that situation? And I think given the autonomy to do what they need to do to handle it the correct way and make it right.
That's great. So is that one of your core values, or is that just kind of that's a rule, right?
It's just a rule. And I've been calling it the grandma rule for a long time because my grandmother she passed away quite a few years ago, but one of the most prized possessions of my life outside of my daughters and my mom and, you know, but she was the most perfect person. And I, you know, nobody's perfect, but she was this sweet, lovely, generous, graceful, beautiful heart. And, you know, and I would never want anybody to mistreat her. You know, I would not want her to be mistreated. And when you think about the people that you love in your life, for moms, it's often our kids, right? Because they're so precious to us. But if you just think about people in that way, it's easy to think about how you should treat them, right? And so if you can have, I think you have to be very deliberate, again, about the values that you're trying to emulate, for sure. But you can also just go back to the very simple golden rule.
Yeah.
How do you want to be treated in a situation? Treat others the same way.
Yeah, I love that. Just very simple guiding principle. That's great.
Yeah.
So I know that you left at one point, left the CEO role, and then you've come back. What caused you to come back?
Well, you know, for one, leaving was very hard. I was going through a period in my life where I think I needed to take a break, from a personal perspective. And I think from a business perspective, I needed to step back to gain some clarity, about where to take the business. And truthfully, I didn't anticipate coming back originally. I thought like, you know, okay, I'm kind of getting used to this, this freedom and not living by a calendar. But the bottom line is I knew that there was a bigger vision and a plan for this business. And I feel an obligation to our franchisees, our team members, our guests and members to innovate, to be creative, to help sustain this brand for another 20 years. So great, you know, what got us here is not going to get us there. And that time away just gave me the mental clarity that I needed. And I think a lot of growth happened for me personally during that time. Again, went through a number of personal challenges. And by the way, if you have grown something, if it's your baby, or even if it hasn't, it's not your baby, but you've been with the company for a long time. When you step away, you better have a plan for your time, because it's really, really hard to not live by a calendar anymore and not to know what to do with yourself. But it took me a while, but I figured that out. And then during that process, once I kind of took that step back and figured some things out on my own for me, I was able to get that clarity and sort of that inspiration to come back and just have the energy and the vision to move it forward. So I feel like I owe it to our team members. I owe it to the millions of people that we serve, you know, and that's why I came back.
I love it. And you mentioned kind of mission, vision, core values, and that's what I call the culture compass, because I do believe that communicating those things is so important. So as you've come back and you've got this vision, how have you gone about communicating that to the brand?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're probably communicating more than we've ever communicated, and I love it. We can always communicate more, but we first announced our brand evolution at our summit. We do a convention for our franchisees. And so we did that in September, and just kind of starting with here's where we're going, you know? And then what we did is we invited early adopters, people that wanted to be part of it. And we have created subcommittees of our Franchise Advisory Council. And, you know, so we've got franchisees that are helping us with operations and finance, franchisees on marketing, franchisees on design build. And so we're collaborating, right? Cool. And so there's a lot of touch points. And there weekly to bi-weekly meetings. There's, you know, monthly updates with our entire franchise system as we're going through this, and we're doing it in bite-sized pieces, right? The stuff that matters that we need to get out to the entire system. And then we're including some franchisees on the bigger things, right? Where there's a lot of detail and they're helping us make some of those decisions. So they're really part of the process. Our executive team, obviously our internal team. So we got, you ask, like, how are you doing it? We got delivery of one of the pieces of equipment this week in our HQ, which is halotherapy with a sauna, with red light, all the chromotherapy and everything.
Love it.
And, you know, the team is just like, this is so awesome. We get to use this. This is so cool. I walked in there earlier and one of them was on their laptop in one of the, on one of the tables with the red light therapy on her hurt foot. So, you know, it's the little things, right? You just infuse the things as often as you can. And you talk about them a lot. It's videos, it's weekly communications, it's monthly update calls. I do a system-wide every single month, ask me anything session. With our franchisees. I do a fireside chat every single month with any team member, the several thousand that want to join, to ask me anything that they want to ask as well. And so I just don't think you can ever over communicate.
Yeah, I agree. That's great. One of my areas of expertise is change management and transformation. And so you're absolutely right. I think you've nailed it with inviting them all in. To be a part of that transformation so that you get that buy-in early. And then taking the bite-sized pieces, I think, to not overwhelm is huge. Yeah. That's so exciting.
It's been so fun. It's so fun. You know, the thing that maybe you've had in your life, maybe once with a relationship or maybe once with a business, where it just hits you like a ton of bricks and you're like, this is so right. This is so right. You just feel it in your heart. You feel it in your bones. You feel it everywhere. That's how this has been. And it's been so fun and inspiring for all of us, for our franchisees. And you know, that's honestly, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
The franchisees have invested a lot of time, money, heart, blood, sweat, tears, all of it. Right. And we owe it to them to evolve and help them get an even better return on their investment. And when they're sitting there saying, yes, 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 you know, this is amazing. We love it. When can we have it? It just feels, makes everybody feel so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's great. The vision is there. You've got your guiding principle. And I want to go back to the people for a minute. And really how you recruit, and you mentioned, you know, how the franchisees, how you bring them in, but the people, is there anything that you do special with the way that you guys hire and retain and engage employees?
I think I'm going to just say from the support center, right? HQ, because that's the only place that I can control and manage.
Yeah.
I think that is just a proper integration, right? Through a training program. And so our team members all go through the same training that we would bring a franchisee through. Right. And so it starts out with, who are we? What is our vision, mission, purpose, culture? You know, what's our mantra, all those things. And what this means to be a team member here and how that affects millions of people. So what you do here, and how you take care of our franchisees, who then take care of the communities they serve, which is millions and millions of people, right? That matters. And so, taking them through that, we also have a culture club. We have several team members here at our HQ that are part of the culture club. And so they put together the cutest things every single month, and we celebrate birthdays, even if you're on Zoom, right? And we have a fork wheel and you get to spin it and you get gifts, and we celebrate birthdays. We celebrate work milestones. Everybody gets a gift for it. You know, our monthly calls with our whole team, because I, of course, I'm, you know, with the executive team every week, but with the whole team, we don't do, I spend like maybe 5 minutes or so on culture in that call, just talking about, you know, calling out people that showed one of the values, right, in some way, or even a story about a franchisee or a team member. And then the rest of the call is actually fun and games. I mean, we just try to make the people that are working from home feel part of the team. And the Culture Club organizes what those things are every month. And I think this week is tomorrow is they're bringing animals. Everybody's bringing their animals in. So
fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. So you've managed to stay hybrid. You have some employees remote and some there at the headquarters.
We do. So being based in San Antonio, it's not a hub for franchising and franchise professionals specifically. There are other cities where there's a lot more just tenured franchise executives, I should say. So during the pandemic, what that did do is that kind of, you know, helped us evolve a little bit. And we did have, we have field consultants that have always been sort of remote because we support the West Coast, the East Coast, whatever, but we do have a lot of, number of our executives are actually in different cities. And I think that's allowed us to have great talent and not just great talent, but people that are really, really good fit for our team. We have the best, we really have the best team. We have the best team. And it's, you know, I don't know that that would be if I was just hiring out of San Antonio because you had to be here. So we work Monday through Thursday. Some people are in the office, but always Tuesday through Thursday, everybody's in the office. And then Friday is definitely always a remote work day. And then we do have remote workers that are, you know, that come in maybe for our discovery days, which is where we have franchisees come in and meet our team. We get together for offsites, you know, a couple times a year, that sort of thing. But yeah, so we have a little bit of both going on.
That's great. This has been a great conversation. Is there anything that you would leave leaders with as they maybe are trying to build a business themselves, build a culture? Any last minute guidance you'd provide?
Yeah, I think from a culture perspective, I would just say be deliberate. You know, really give some thought to what kind of organization you really want. And it might be reflective of your own personality. It probably is. It might be reflective of the people that you already have on your team. They may not be all the right people, and you might need to do a right, you know, right people, right seats check. But I think if you can figure that out and you know that you've got the right people, a lot often you just got to figure out if they're in the right seat, if it makes sense. Right. But you've got to love the people that you work with and respect the job that they do and vice versa. And those ultimately are, I think, a reflection of who we are as leaders, because how they interact with, you know, our franchisees or their guests and whoever else is a reflection of our leadership and all our culture. So be intentional with it. And if you're not living the values you've already set, you might want to reflect and see if they are the right values. Maybe you need to level set, or maybe you just need to be stop and think and be more intentional and start recognizing those values and letting people know when they've lived them and they've done a really good job. So
very well said.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, if people want to learn more about Massage Heights, I'll put the link in the show notes, but tell me the address.
Perfect. They can go to, it's now Heights Wellness Retreat. So www.heightswellnessretreat.com. And then you guys can find me on LinkedIn as well, Shane Evans, and, love to connect.
Perfect. All right, Shane, thank you so much for your time. This was a great conversation.
Thank you, Wendy. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Culture Coach Podcast. I hope Shane's story sparked some ideas for how you can evolve your own culture while staying true to your mission. If this conversation got you thinking about how aligned or misaligned your organization might be when it comes to culture, I have two next steps for you. First, take my Culture Compass quiz. It's a quick, free tool designed to help you pinpoint where your culture is strong and where it may need attention. You'll walk away with more actionable insights to start building a healthier, more engaged workplace. You can learn more at culturecoachwendy.com/quiz. Or if you're a founder, CEO, or HR executive, I have something really special for you. Join me for free monthly culture strategy sessions starting in April. If you're an executive who wants to get ahead of burnout, align your teams, and lead with intention, these free calls are for you. You'll experience conversations with like-minded leaders and leave with practical steps to operationalize your culture. No fluff, just strategy. Learn more at culturecoachwendy.com/strategy sessions. That's it. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.